Morning, Ronald.
Hey, good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you on. This is a terrible tragedy. What happens when there is a crash like this? What's the process?
Yeah, we've already seen some of it. So, of course, the ATSB gets involved. Sounds like they're running the investigation side of it. The recovery has already taken place. Luckily, it wasn't in too deep water, so they were able to recover it. And then what they'll do is they'll usually put it in a hangar or a building and then piece it back together and then try to find out if anything or what occurred to have this mishap happen.
I mean, we've seen the TV show Air Crash Investigations, perhaps. And is it a bit like that, where they go through forensically, measure things, work out trajectories, all that, and speeds and that sort of thing?
That's correct. And then they'll pull eyewitnesses. You heard the police on television ask for eyewitnesses. They'll ask for eyewitnesses. They'll pull any radio transmissions that were made to and from the aircraft. Of course, they're already looking at the pilot's experience. They'll look at that. The aircraft history, which they've looked at that, and they found that it was written off there for a bit, and then they refurbished it, and it was operating out of Sydney. So,
that was unusual, wasn't it? Because it sounds like that. It's not. It's wrecked. But then, as we understood from some of the reports, was that when there is a crash in a plane and they say write it off, whatever, they can still get it back working again. But how many parts would be involved from the old plane? You know, how many new parts would there be in this sort of thing?
Yeah, look, it just depends. And there's companies out there that's all they do is they go in and refurbish something that has been in an accident. I believe some famous people have done it. Harrison Ford, here's aircraft they found in an old hangar that was damaged. He owns that same type of aircraft. It's quite common, actually, especially for that type of aircraft. That type of aircraft, the de Havilland Beaver, the DH-2C, DHC-2 is an amazing aircraft, and it's high demand. So if there's one, sitting around, they'll go in and refurbish it. And some of those aircraft have 30,000 hours on them, which is a lot. That's probably 2 to 3 times the normal aircraft that size would have.
And so it's not unusual. And if it's had a crash, it generally doesn't affect it, or what? I mean, if you get a car and it's had a bad accident, you go, oh, gee, maybe I shouldn't buy that car. Is it different for aircraft, is it?
Yeah, one of the reasons it's different is because they'll go in and refurbish everything. They'll test it. They'll do an inspection on the metals, make sure that they're all structurally sound, and then whatever needs to replace. The other thing, too, with the car, with the aircraft, so if it crashes and they write it off, let's say the wings are written off or damaged and you can't repair them, you can just put new wings on. So you might have a, 30-year-old, or those aircraft, probably 50, 60-year-old, the de Havilland DHC-2, which the Beaver, you can have that be 50, 60 years old, but 90% of it could be only 3 to 4 years old.
Ah, I see.
Because they refurbish it. So that attests to that aircraft is, so well-trusted and so well-known. I mean, I've flown on it before. It flies like a little Piper Cub. I mean, it's very tame, very forgiving, and it hauls a lot of stuff. It's like a pickup truck with wings. So, and you can, fly pastures. It's got that nostalgia to it. So there's that as well. Oh, I was just going to say, with that aircraft, the key area is what we call the birdcage. That's the frame that houses the cockpit and the passenger spaces. So once they replace that with a lifetime bird cage, that means that it can go for as long as the aircraft wants to, then that aircraft can, you could probably put another 20,000 hours on it.
I don't want to ask you about speculating what may have caused everything, but one of the things that has been reported is that it could have stalled. But yeah. What I was wondering was if you're taking off and doing a turn, how could you stall at that point? Because wouldn't you be accelerating?
Well, that aircraft's pretty impressive with its low speed capabilities. But one thing I've learned about the Beaver is if you don't have the nose down, it won't accelerate. There's just so much drag on it, and that drag is good because I won't go into it too deep, but with all the lift capabilities, it causes drag. So what happens is that unless you got the nose down, it won't accelerate even at the slower speeds because you have so much drag on it. And it doesn't have they've got really large engines on them, 450 horsepower radial engines on them. It's just that you can get it into a flight parameter where it really doesn't matter about the power, doesn't matter about anything else. If you dip the wing, it'll stall. Now, we don't know what happened there, but it's like any other aircraft. And we're not really sure.
And you can't, it's not easy to sort of glide in on that sort of a plane? Or?
Oh, no, that plane's got a really good glide ratio.
It does.
And it's got a really low stall speed. So, yeah, it.
So there's something really bad has happened.
It's going to be interesting to find out because that company too that was using them, very safe company, very safe environment. You know, the pilots are really good. That pilot was an exceptional pilot. So it just makes you wonder, what happened? Because that company, no mishaps in 12 years. Just an exceptional safe company, safe operation. If it wasn't being run right, they wouldn't have all the stars fly it. You know, there's a lot of stars. I think I've heard, the royal families have flown on it. So,
it's a lovely thing to do to go up there for lunch, I would imagine, and float in on the plane and this beautiful chef and glorious surroundings. You're like in the middle of nowhere up there, you know. It is beautiful.
No, I haven't been there, but sounds nice.
Yeah, I've been there on a boat, and it's just a beautiful position. It's right on this point. There's bush everywhere. You can't see any other buildings. It's just lovely. It really is. And you're so close to the centre of Sydney. That's why they do it. You know, you're there in half an hour or whatever, or less than that,
I guess. And that's the thing that's kind of amazing to me also is that they were coming back from the restaurant back to the base, that was the last report I saw. And I'm not sure if that was a planned stop where they went down, if they were stopping there, if they were taking off there, or what was happening. So, just a very interesting. It'll be interesting to find out what happened.
Yeah. Anyway, is there anything that you think that should be addressed in terms of safety for small planes? I mean, there was another plane crash in Perth for a seaplane.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't. Yes. Yeah, no, I don't. Look, there, I started out in the Air Force in rescue, and we used to do alert up in Alaska. And now they have a lot of seaplanes up there, but I'd say one out of two rescues we did was a seaplane.
Oh.
So, and it's just what happens is they're not unsafe by any means, but you're putting a different parameter in. So, you know, you have an aircraft, you go to land at an airport, you know the risks, you're touching down wheels, you're transitioning from about 60, that aircraft probably about 60 knots, maybe 70 knots. To a hard surface. Once you get on the ground, now you're kind of like a car, and you start to slow down, you hit the brakes, everything's good. The other thing, too, is you got the two wheels on the ground, and if you move side to side a little bit, it's no big deal because the wheels can give. You know, one just goes slower than the other.
Oh,
so
right. Yeah,
no
yeah.
drama, right? So until you put the tail or the nose wheel down, no drama. With the float planes, it's our seaplanes. It's a total different issue because now you're going from being a plane to a high-speed boat, and now you're at 50 to 60 knots when you touch down. So that's about 90 to 100 kilometers per hour.
It's pretty fast for a boat, isn't it?
yeah. So now you're, and we've all seen those high-performance, high-speed boats on TV where things don't go right. right? So it's the same thing. The other thing, too, is with the seaplane, if you don't have it on center line, if you start to go sideways a bit, if you've ever been in a boat going at pretty high speeds and it starts to go sideways, it's not very comfortable, and the boat doesn't like it, and eventually it'll correct itself or it'll fall off a plane. If you do that with the seaplane, you can run into all kinds of other issues. And then there is the part where if you run into any waves and it overwhelms the pontoon in the front, well, then, you know, it's
sort
over.
Of
so, yeah, it
don't
just
you?
Depends on, as they discover more of what happened, we'll be able to learn what went wrong with this one and the one in Perth, and hopefully make it where it won't happen again. So, yeah, very unfortunate, especially with the family.
Dreadful, yeah. Right?
New Year's Eve, going out to very
just awful,
very
yeah.
sad. Yes,
yeah, very sad.
Anyway,
look, thank you so much, Ronald, for coming on the show. Really appreciate you giving us some of your expertise on that, and help us understand what's been going on there. Anyway,
thanks, Rod, and thanks to you and your listeners, and I wish you all the best in the new year.
Thank you. You too.